seated. Thank you. I love Spirit Week. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I know. I am not your father. You'd be better behaved if I was your father. I need you to just bear with me for a minute. I'm going to need a bunch of people's help, okay? So I'm going to call on some people. They're going to come up and give me a hand, and then we're going to turn in our Bibles here in just a minute, all right? So I need all these men that I'm going to be calling, I need you to come down here, and you're just going to line up across the front. So Brother Mitchell, if you'd come down here first and help me, please. And just hold that, if you would. Then I need Brother Collins, if you would, please. Just down there. Let's see. Brother Eggers. Brother Snipes, if you could come help me. And while he's coming, Brother Dominguez, I'm going to need you also. And Brother Ray, I need Brother Ray. Brother Osgood, is Brother Osgood in here? And let's see, Tim Warren, is Tim Warren in here? And Brother Fish, where's Brother Fish? There he is. All right. Now, fellas, I want you to know before we start, I love all of you dearly. You might not love me when this is over, though. I'm just telling you right now. Fellas, what I need all of you to do is I need you to take those signs in both of your hands and I need you to hold them over your head. And I need you to keep them there for the whole sermon. All right. The rest of you, I need you to get your Bibles. Get your Bibles, get your Bibles, get your Bibles. Hey, listen. Just keep your mouth shut. Watch. Watch and listen, please. I promise you. Isaiah chapter 34 in your Bibles, please. Isaiah chapter 34. I've got kind of a long introduction to what will be a fairly short message, but it's important. Isaiah 34, starting in verse number 16, the Bible says this, "Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate. For my mouth it hath commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered them." By the way, ladies, that is not a dating verse. Just because it says none shall want her mate, it is not a dating verse. But here, 17, "And he hath cast the lot for them, and his hand hath divided it unto them by line. They shall possess it forever, for generation to generation they shall dwell therein. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye," listen carefully, "strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say unto them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you." And then turn to Hebrews chapter 12. And fellas, I do need you, all of you, if you can, as much as you can, for as long as you can, both hands on a sign above your head. Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse number 9, the Bible says this, "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." And one more passage you're going to turn to, Exodus chapter 17. Exodus 17. Starting in verse number 8. Exodus 17, 8. The Bible says this, "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek tomorrow. I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said unto him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. He took a stone and put it under him. He sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. His hands were steady until the going down of the sun." Let's pray. Thank you, God, for today. God, I thank you for the men that are standing across the front of this platform. Lord, these men just are a small representation of hundreds and thousands and tens of thousands of people that need the young people in this room to hold up their hands. They need somebody to come alongside of them and say, we're going to help you. We're going to support you. We're not going to tear you down. We're not going to complain about the standard that you're trying to hold. We're on your side. We're here for your support. God, I beg you this morning that you would hold up my hands these next few minutes. Lord, help me be help to these young people. God, I love them and I love you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Young people, in the Bible, as you read your Bible, you'll find that throughout the Word of God, the men of God had men that held up their hands. As you see the signs that these men are holding up, I don't know who it is for you, but just going across this, we here at First Baptist Church, we have a pastor. Young people, I don't know, this is the honest truth, I don't know a man on the face of the earth that spiritually carries more weight than our pastor does. What he has to deal with on a daily basis, what he's chosen, what he's given his life to deal with on a daily basis. Every time he preaches, he gets emails from people, I'm sure, complaining or correcting what he preached. Every decision he makes through COVID, through everything else, through every lawsuit that somebody wants to bring, somebody thinks he's doing something wrong. Not to mention all the counseling and the spiritual battles and the funerals and everything else and the hurting families that he helps. And let me tell you something, young people, those hands can get very heavy. But young people, many of you are from this church, but many of you are not. Many of you have a pastor at home whose hands also get very, very heavy, who struggle with many, many things that you'll never comprehend, that you don't know, that you can't understand. And you know what those pastors need more than anything else? They need young people like you. They need you when you get married and you go back to that church, or you get married and you go off to serve and you're on their staff. You know what they need? They don't need a young man or a young lady that's going to complain, that's going to gripe, that's going to cause problems. They need somebody that's going to come alongside and say, "Preacher, let me help you. Let me hold up your hands." That's what they need. The administration here at the college. I know you don't understand many of the things that, and I didn't as a student. I didn't when I came back as a staff member. I do more now, but a lot of things even now that I'm the one that gets to go through the handbook every summer and all those things, and I don't understand maybe some of the things, but then I'll talk to somebody like Dr. Young. And he'll tell me stories about young people that have failed. And Brother King, this failure and this failure and this reason is why we have that policy. You know what that makes me do? It makes me believe in it. It makes me say, how can I hold up your hands? How can I help? You don't understand. You don't understand what Brother Collins, the work that goes into all the things that he puts on and the activities, and one thing goes wrong or one thing's not what you like and you complain, and why isn't it done this way or why can't it be done this? You know what he needs? He needs somebody to say, "Brother Collins, let me hold up your hands. Let me just come alongside and be a part instead of sitting in the top of the balcony watching everybody else participate. Oh, you just sit back there watching in the games. You say, let me get involved." Because let me tell you something. If you had that man's job, you know what you would want? You would want somebody else that would say, "Let me get involved.
It's good.
Let me be a part." It should never be a struggle to get people for an activity or anything else. Brother Press, we have football sign-ups and a bunch of you guys signed up or whatever it is. All those things. Get on board with the administration. You have music. I could spend an entire message on this, and you know that. Brother Eggers would preach a much better message on that. But let me tell you something. Every semester, this is a battle. For the rest of your life, this will be a battle. In your church, that will be a battle. In your home, that will be a battle. In your relationship, that may be a battle. Young people, you don't necessarily understand all the effects of it right now, but let me just remind you of something. When it comes to music, the one being in all of the earth that knows music the best is God himself. Amen. But next to him, remember that the devil was created for this purpose. Right. And if there's somebody that knows the power of music, it's the devil.
That's right. That's right.
It's not a joke.
Right.
It is a big deal.
Come on.
It will ruin you.
That's right.
It's a foothold in the door that the devil gets. And somebody needs to say, "Brother Eggers, I want my music to be pure. I want it to honor God. It's for God anyways. It's not for you. It's for him. It's to honor him."
Amen. That's good.
That's what that's for.
That's good. Amen.
Well, I don't like it.
Come on.
It's not my favorite.
Well,
this just appeals to me. I just enjoy this. Well, I'm going through something right now, and this country musician wrote a song that just greatly depicts my story, Brother King.
Come on.
God wrote a whole book that greatly depicts your story.
Man, that's good. Come on.
God wrote a whole book of songs that will help you through your story.
Man, that's right.
Purity.
Come on.
Young people. Again, every one of these, you could spend an entire message.
Right. Right.
True. Brother Dominguez, one of his ministries here is just to help with the counseling side of things. And we kind of joke around, you know, he's the spirit guide of the college or whatever you want to say. But let me explain something to you. Purity is powerful.
Yes, it is. That's right.
Amen.
Man.
Purity is powerful.
Amen.
You'll never be sorry When you stand in front of your husband or wife at that altar and you make those vows and you said, I kept myself pure, not just for you. Amen. I did it for the Lord. Amen. I did it for me. I did it for my kids someday.
Amen.
Because they need you.
That's good.
Churches need pastors that keep themselves pure.
Right.
They need pastors' wives that keep themselves pure. And this isn't just talking about failing morally. It's talking about the things that you put into your eyes and the things you put into your ears and the way that you live your life.
Right.
There's nothing the world has to offer that's worth that.
Right. Right.
Nothing.
Amen.
And if you failed in this area before, fix it today.
Amen.
And going forward,
that's
fix
good.
It.
Amen.
Make it right. Make a commitment.
Amen.
To hold up somebody's hands to say, Brother Dominguez, help me keep myself pure.
Man, that's good.
Let me help you.
That's good.
You need that.
Right.
Amen. You won't understand until eternity how important that is, but you'll never be sorry.
Amen. That's good.
Your ministry.
Well, come on.
I asked Brother Tim because he's a bus captain.
Amen.
You know what bus captains need? You know what? One of the blessings to me, I'm going to just tell you this just as an aside, okay? I sat through the second half of the football draft yesterday. And in the second half of the draft, you know all the guys that are going to go early on the board, you know, the obvious choices. But then you get down and some people that maybe aren't your premier athletes or whatever, and you get down towards that. And it blessed my heart. There was one young man in particular. And the guys were talking about him. And one of the captains said, that young man, he said, of all the issues and struggles that I've had at college, the worst day was the day that young man left my bus route to go to a different bus route. He's the best bus worker I ever had.
That's good.
That guy loves God. He loves souls. He'll go soul winning. He'll give. He'll do whatever you say. And you might say, he's not the premier athlete. But you know what every ministry leader needs? You know what all these people need? They need somebody that's going to come say, hey, bus captain, what do you need from me? Not, well, that's not really my strength. Get somebody else to do that. I don't want to do that. Let's take longer for lunch on Saturday. Let's just, why do we got to do all that stuff? No, they need somebody that's going to come alongside. You know who else? Brother Ricky, Brother Judah, Brother Francis. They need somebody that's going to come alongside and say, how can I help? Not, hey, that's not my favorite age group. I'm just going to sit back. Let somebody else deal with that.
Come
they
on.
Need you to come alongside and say, let me hold up your hands.
Amen.
Let me help you.
Amen.
Let me help you.
Amen.
That's what they need. Missionaries, young people. It was a blessing to me. Brother Bushy said the other day, we have 11 families this year. I believe most, if not all of them, got their training here that are going to the mission field. But young people, let me explain something to you. We could send 11,000 families and it wouldn't be enough.
Right.
Amen.
And you know what every missionary needs? Every missionary needs this right here.
Amen. Right.
That's why you give to missions.
Amen.
That's why you pray for your missionaries.
Right.
I hope if you were here for the missions conference last year that you still have your heart for your country that you're praying for. I'm praying for the United Arab Emirates and Emirates. I'm thankful for that opportunity. But you know what? I'm thankful for somebody that's willing to go there. Somebody
Amen.
That, why do we have our WMS circles? Because they're there to hold up the hands of our missionaries to, hey, say, somebody here is praying for you. Somebody here loves you. Somebody cares about you. You took your wife and your family and your kids to a country you don't even speak the language, maybe. And you're just there, and some are seeing thousands saved.
Amen.
And some might see one or two saved a year because it's just a different field. But young people, they need somebody.
That's right.
They need you, somebody.
Right. Right.
See, with all of these things, young people, it's easy to sit in your seat and say, somebody should do that.
Come on.
To say, hey, Brother Collins looks like his arms might be getting tired. Somebody should stand up and hold up his arm.
Come on.
Somebody should do that. Hey, there's missionaries out there on the field that maybe their kids are sick, or maybe they just don't have enough money with inflation or the economy's changing. They just need help, and they need somebody that will say, I'm going to hold up your hands. Your parents. Brother Ray has young children. Young people, one of the most difficult things in all of the world is to raise a godly seed. The Bible says, I have no greater joy. Nothing. No greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. You know what? Some of you have spent the last year, 2 years, and I know you're at Bible college, but some of you have spent the last couple of years of your life doing this to your parents.
Come on.
Doing this. They're trying to hold up a standard to say, we're going to have a godly family. We're going to do what's right. We're going to be in church. We're going to be involved. We're going to sacrifice maybe so that you can go to a Christian school or so that you can be in college. And we're not going to drive a new car. And we're not going to do all those things because they love you and they know that God has what's best for you.
Amen.
And you're saying, Mom and Dad, why can't I just date that boy? Why can't I see that girl? Why can't I go here? Why can't I listen to this? Why can't I dress this way? Why can't I act this way? And they said, because you don't understand. You don't understand that 5 years and 10 years and 40 years from now, they need you.
Right.
They do.
Some of you have younger siblings at home.
Well, come on.
That need nothing more than for their big brother or sister to say, you need to listen to Mom and Dad. You need to trust Mom and Dad. And some of you need to call your siblings and apologize to them.
Amen.
And say, I'm sorry. I was a fool. I know your parents aren't perfect. I am a parent and I have parents. A long ways from perfect. But man alive, if you've got parents that know the Lord, and have tried to keep you in church, and have tried to help you make right choices, they need somebody to hold up their arms.
Amen.
You got dorm staff. Men, I've told you this before. I told you this at Split Chapel probably. Nobody here on this campus loves you and prays for you more and cares more about you than Brother Rob Oscar.
Amen. Amen.
Come on.
He should be getting notes and thanks every day, but not just him. The guys that live in your dorms. Ladies, the girls that live in your dorms, that clean your bathrooms, that take out your trash, that vacuum up your garbage in the hallways. Why can't we get this fixed? Why can't I have, I want more air conditioning. We'd love to have the Hilton here for you to stay in. We understand it's not that. But you know, how about a thank you for taking out the trash? How about a what can I do to help? How about a, hey, if you give me this stuff, I'll clean the bathroom. Brother King, those bathrooms are disgusting. I know, you're the reason they are.
Amen.
Down there on the end, we have the faculty. Young people, those are, Brother Fish is giving himself. You came in 1982, you said, Brother Fish? 1982. Next year, that'll be 40 years.
Amen.
And he's just a representation of the rest of what's in this room for faculty. And they'll give 40 years of their life, and you don't want to do the required reading, or you complain about an assignment.
Come on.
You don't want to show up to class on time.
Come on.
Young people, I know these fellows have been holding those up for a little while, and I'm watching some of your faces. I'm not looking at them because they're probably all giving me dirty looks. But let me explain something to you. You know what these men need? They need somebody out here. That's been pulling down on their arm. That's been saying, why is that such a big deal? Why? I don't understand why this matters so much. I don't understand why the administration makes these decisions. My pastor, here or at home, I don't understand. I don't agree. I don't, whatever. There's things that all of these people deal with that you won't understand until you stand in their shoes. And even then, the problems you deal with will be different than the problems they deal with.
Amen.
The Bible says the powers that be are ordained of God.
Amen.
You know why those people have those positions or why they hold those things high? Because that's what God ordained.
Amen. Amen.
Your problem's not really with them.
Right.
It's between you and the Lord.
Good. Amen.
Let me ask you a question. Who's going to hold up their hands? I promise you, if you stand in any of these places, you're going to want somebody that will come hold up your hands.
Right. Amen.
Like I said, these men are just a small representation of thousands of people out there that need you. Our pastor says all the time, there's two positions open in all of Christendom. To be a pastor or to help the pastor. These men and what they represent, the people they represent in your life, need you to hold up their hands. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed. Fellows, if you'll stay up here for a minute, please. Who's going to hold up their hands? The first two passages I read in Isaiah and Hebrews say, lift up the hands that hang down. Really, no greater picture of that than the men. I'd encourage you, you young men, find a man to hold up his arms and pray with him. You men, as these young men are holding up your arms, pray with them. Maybe it's something that you're struggling with personally. Maybe you need to call a parent or a ministry leader and say, I'm going to support you. I'm going to hold up your hands. We've got Brother and Mrs. Mock back in the back. I'm thankful that they're here. They've spent the better portion of their life holding up the hands of their preacher. God help.